We're going to continue on with today's pre-race availabilities for the Goodyear 400. We're joined by today's honorary pace car driver, Mark Martin. Mark, there are two names atop the all-time wins list here at Darlington Raceway, Dale Earnhardt and Mark Martin. And what was it about this racetrack that kind of fit your driving style over the years?
I don't know for sure, but first I wanted to just shout out to the familiar faces I see in here. It's just really awesome. And shout out to NASCAR. This alumni program is really fantastic, bringing these legends. Just loved listening to Kurt and Harry talking here. Wish I could hear everyone, their interviews, because it's fantastic. Yeah, the racetrack was just, it worked for me. I heard all the horror stories about Darlington before I came. I was just a kid, and I was getting ready to dip my toe in NASCAR, and got this Busch car, and was going to come down here and find out how mean this old lady was. So the racetrack was backwards, so that down there was 1 and 2 back then. And 1 and 2 was so easy, it was like normal. And 3 and 4 was pretty hard and had my attention. So, in practice, I spun out and 1 and 2, the easy end. So I guess it wasn't as easy as I thought. But we did set on the outside pole, and we did run fourth. So I think that was a window into what was coming. I don't know why. I don't think any driver can ever really tell you why they perform better at one race or another. But Rockingham and Darlington had similar asphalt. The way it was paved, back then you could pave it, and 2 years later it was wore out again as far as the pavement went. And I knew the setup that I wanted in my car. I knew what it was, and it worked. The cup car we had to tweak from time to time, but the Busch car at the time, we could run the same springs and virtually the same everything every time we came. Here in Rockingham, both.
We're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We're going to start in the back with Chris, and we're going to come up here to Mike.
Hey, Mark. Chris Gollin with Above the Yellow Line Media. Glad to have you here. So Darlington is a place where in NASCAR we like to kind of take stock of the sport's history and pay tribute to the legends of the sport, yourself included. And so with that in mind, I was wondering if of all the tributes and the throwbacks to your cars that have been run here at Darlington over the last 10 or however many years, are there any that stand out to you as kind of your favorites?
Gosh, to have a throwback is an honor. I'm sure if you showed me a picture, I would point it out. But honestly, that's not something that would be on my radar, so I would be a fool to try to recount, you know, which one it was, because I don't even remember. I just know that I was honored every time that anyone was done. I was pretty honored that Alex Bowman chose to honor my car. I thought that was, recently, in the past how many years, not that many years ago, I thought that was really an honor to be recognized by today's drivers. For any one of these alumni means more than I can articulate, and you may have trouble as well. You just don't know what it means to be recognized by today's heroes. You know, these are our super current day superstars that are out there, and for them to, you just don't know what it means.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to go next to Mike, and then the Tyler, then the Matt, then the Lee.
Mike Embry, NASCAR.com. Mark, tires famously wear out here pretty quickly. How did that feel in the race car, 10, 20 laps into a run? Was that something you felt in the steering wheel, in your butt, in the seat? How did that develop over the laps?
Yes, it would by, probably lap two. The first lap was incredible. The second lap, you probably weren't overly noticing it. By the third lap, you were feeling the deterioration of the grip, and so you had to back up. You know, you had to be off the throttle a little sooner and on the throttle a little later or a little lighter by lap three for sure. Or and you had to continue to do that based on feel, some of visuals, but mostly feel. The visuals, you could see, well, I almost hit the wall that time. I better back up another 3%, you know, this next lap. But a lot of it, you just fail. I drove by feel, but it wasn't a real visual driver, but you would, you know, you'd see you almost hit the wall that time. You better back it up more than, you know, more than normal for the next time enter that corner.
Next to Tyler.
Tyler had WNKT. A lot of tributes to Greg Biffle this weekend. Do you have a specific favorite Greg Biffle memory?
You know, I've answered that one time before. It was, you know, Greg was hard to beat in that 16 car. And I was going through, you know, a challenging latter part of my tenure at the 6 car. And in 05 at Kansas, 06? Okay, well, it was at Kansas, and Greg, we took two tires to get in front of Greg, and he was about 10 car lengths behind me chasing me, and I knew that he was probably faster than I was, and I was running like a dog. And my memory is how Greg took that. He thought it was funny. He laughed about seeing me up there running so hard, and we did win the race. Usually when I didn't win a race, I didn't want to laugh much, but, that was just a special memory. He was an incredible race car driver. And what I remember is, how fierce, how hard he was to beat on the racetrack. He was a great teammate, and someone that I saw come right out of, the Northwest into Roush Racing as a junior and work his way up to beating us.
Next to Matt.
Matt Weaver, Motorsport.com. When you talked about wanting to make that transition from ASA to NASCAR racing, and one of the reasons being Darlington, wanting to try to tame this place, I'm curious, back then, I don't know that the tech, obviously, like you would. Was there ever a consideration that maybe ASA could run at a place like this, or was there just a political divide, or could those cars have even raced at Darlington back then?
Yes, the cars could have raced, would have been fabulous at Darlington, much more suited than the old Atlanta and Michigan International, which they did run. Those cars were not suited for that, but they would have been suited for here much better. But the NASCAR was very anti-competition and treated that series as an adversary in my eyes, you know, especially in the 80s when, you know, early 80s when I was trying to get in here, you know, into NASCAR. So, it would have been great. But I don't recall the times that we raced Atlanta and Michigan were companion IndyCar races.
And then one other one for you too is, like, I don't know how much you saw of practice and qualifying yesterday, but so much of the conversations that we've had as part of an industry, and certainly you've been a part of it too, is just trying to reach a certain eye test of this is what NASCAR Cup Series racing should be. And I'm curious, when you look at any of the footage or you watch what happened yesterday, does that look like Cup Series racing at Darlington to you?
So I did get to watch the O'Reilly Series, but I ran throttles hung wide open all day yesterday, so I missed everything else, you know, qualifying. My fear is, my excitement for today is to see how hard it is and to witness greatness. My fear is sometimes when you have that, it might not be as entertaining. And I just hope that everyone embraces the race today as, hey, not every race is Atlanta. not every race is Talladega, you know, and this is what it is. It may be an incredible finish to this race, or it may not be. We may see greatness separated by not so much greatness. I don't know. I wouldn't want every race to be anything. I think we need a variety, and I'm excited about this particular race with less downforce. Can't wait.
Go next to Lee, and then we'll go to the Godfather.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CashFunds.com. Mark, you talked earlier about ASA and also, you know, running short tracks throughout the Midwest, throughout the South. You came here once, had to take a step back, came back again. With the tire degradation we're expecting today and what has been traditionally here at Darlington, if kids don't have that kind of background that you had easing your way into the Cup level, can they, you know, get that kind of experience just jumping out there without, you know, years of just testing their limits at other tracks?
I tell you, that is a really great question. And I've thought about this in depth because I thought about making a post about it, because my prediction is that some of these drivers are going to be met with something beyond what they're used to ever having to tackle with. Lack of grip on top of an incredibly difficult racetrack under any scenario. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see who goes and who's able to not knock a toe link off or the toe in out, because they're going to be hitting the wall. I mean, they did, you know, last night with those cars, and I think these cars are probably going to handle worse, and they're going, you know, as the tires go off. So, you know, you got a guy like Carson Hocevar, who is fantastic to watch and lightning in a bottle. Man, it would surprise me if he had the, you know, if he was able to hold himself back. You know, I think the lady in black's going to wear the side of his car out. But hey, that's what makes it fun to watch, because maybe he does, and that surprises us. But I think there's a lot of the drivers that are going to be met with much more difficult, you know, circumstances than they're ever used to. Than they've ever raced on, because this track is hard no matter what. But dropping the downforce and up in the horsepower is cool. I'm so excited about seeing this race.
Also, having worked with a lot of iconic and Hall of Fame caliber crew chiefs, why does Alan Gustafson stand apart? I mean, you had him later in your career, and you've been able to kind of step away and look at these guys now from a bigger picture. But there are times when I don't think he gets the credit he deserves.
He's way underappreciated and underrated, I think, today. Maybe not so much by this room, but certainly by the fans, because I read this stuff. I read the comments. And he's way underappreciated. He was fantastic for me, because to me, he was a kid. You know, I was 50 and I don't know what he was, but he was a young crew chief. And so when I was in my prime, he was in a school, high school. And so it was amazing for him to be excited about working with me. And he was seemed to be the most engineering educated type that I had worked with. You know, I'd worked with Steve Mill, who was, you know, fantastic, but he was just, you know, a hands-on racer. And most of the crew chiefs I'd worked with all the way up to Alan had pretty much been those kind, you know. And Alan brought some different education part to it, but was able to, you know, made it with practical stuff. And Alan took risks, like racing. We won some races because he did something that a lot of crew chiefs wouldn't make that call. And he made those calls, and we won the races. And in my opinion, I've seen Chase win some races that he wouldn't have won. Unfortunately, the times when he made those calls and it didn't work, and it won't work every time. He's gotten blasted by the fans for that, and I think he's brilliant. And I also think Chase is brilliant. I think they're capable of even more. There's no one, almost no one, more consistent, a consistent runner. Like, they should be a great runner for the championship, and Christopher Bell as well, because there are two that fly under the radar that run consistently in the top 10, in my opinion.
Okay, we're going to go next to Dave and then to Eddie.
Dave Moody, MRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Mark, a couple of years ago, we had a little bit of difficulty getting the honorary pace car driver, a tall gentleman in a cowboy hat, as I recall, to come on off the racetrack so that we could throw the green flag. Are we going to be okay with you today?
I don't know, boy. I tell you what, it's a lot of pressure. I thought it was really funny when Richard had his thing, but it's not going to be funny if I mess this up. So I'm not going to be relieved until I get on pit road with that pace car, make sure that I don't screw up. So it's really fun. It's a great honor. It's a great honor to be here and to see everyone and be with the fans. I got to sign a lot of autographs out of the fan zone, and things, you know, there's some things that are the same, but there's a lot of things that are different, and it's really cool to be around. I hope to maybe be around more in the future. Not a plug, but Matt and I have been working for 5 years on a book that is really in depth, and once that gets finished and published and released, you know, I hope to be around a little bit more, signing some autographs, signing some books, and maybe do that at a few NASCAR races. So I look forward to that. We're really excited about it.
We'll go next to Eddie, then to Trenton, and then we'll wrap with Dalton.
Hey, Mark. Eddie Kalegi, Motorsports Today. I got two questions for you. First off, you mentioned you watched the O'Reilly race yesterday. Obviously, Allgaier had the battle with the two Cup guys. And, of course, you're someone who did a lot of bushwhacking racing down back in your days in the Busch Series, Nationwide Series. And with the rule change this year, there's going to be more of that. So what are your thoughts on just the benefit for a Cup driver racing down and also for the exposure for the younger guys coming up to race against Cup drivers?
Well, the first thought is those drivers, those young drivers, need to be challenged. They need to see how hard it is, because the step is unbelievably, number one. Number two, so those young drivers need to see what they're going to be up against when they make that transition driver-wise. I think that's a good thing. I think it's minimal benefit to the Cup drivers to run as far as performance-wise, because now the difference in the cars is so wide, you know, and the difference in the tires are, you know, we ran on the same tires. And so not a whole lot of crossover, but people need to race. I mean, race car drivers need to race. And I think it's great. I think it's great that they've opened it up. I think it's cool that Justin beat the Cup guys. Because that really makes him feel good. And maybe he's looking at not so much longer in the driver's seat, but one thing he can say is that the toughest racetrack going, I beat those guys, and it's got to feel good for him. As far as the fans go, I think that it's a plus from the side that, you bring some stars in, and maybe you have a little bit more interest in the race because you bring the superstars in. You wouldn't want a half a field of Cup drivers, but you're not going to have that. In today's age, it's going to be a small number, and I think it's – I agree with it. I think it's a good call to let them run more.
And also, obviously, you were very involved with the unveil of the return of the Chase, and I'm just curious from your perspective how you feel like the synergy is right now between NASCAR leadership and not just the present drivers, but also drivers of the past, too, because at least from my seat, it feels like that's kind of at its highest that it's been in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it appears from every indication that I get from the fans that I interact with and from everything else that really is a positive start to the season, most positive that I can remember recently. A lot of great momentum. Every race we've had this year has been a really good race. And you're not, no matter what, you know, you're not, every race is not going to be that way. But golly, the racing's been good. Seems like there's a lot of positive energy, and it can't be just the points thing. It's got to be other things. But the willingness to of the NASCAR leadership to turn a corner, you know, to not stay straight ahead but bend back in a direction toward its heritage or whatever, towards, you know, sort of the legacy, I think has made – a lot of people happy, a lot of the race fans happy. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm almost complacent now. The racing's been so good, like I'm scared to give any positive criticism because you don't want to change anything. At the same time, if you're not thinking ahead and you only react after it's not so good, then that's not a good thing either. But right now, I'm just really feel relieved that the sport that I love so much is trending in a nice, positive direction.
Next to Trent.
Mark, Trent Warsham, frontstretch.com. We've heard a lot about your ASA days and short tracks. You know, just how important is it to preserve that history? You know, most notably just a few hours up the road, Greenville picking speedways, going through that right now. How important is it to save these racetracks?
Yes, that's such a great point. And we've already lost so many, some very historical racetracks. You know, just to reference, Rockford Speedway, for example, is very historic. It was like going to Darlington when you would go to Rockford and look at the gouges in the pavement and all the years of that. And so there's so many racetracks that the cities around them have grown all around them to the point where the property becomes more valuable than the racetrack does. And that's not that, you know, that's really sad. It's sad to lose those racetracks, and we've already lost so many. I know there's a huge battle at Greenville Pickens, I guess. And we can only hope and salute Marcus Smith for trying to, you know, save the Nashville Fairgrounds. That's another epic historical racetrack that, gosh, if we could run cup cars there again someday, would be just epic. So salute to Marcus for, I think he's really, you know, of course, Wilk, North Wilkesboro as well, but I'm really pulling for him for the Nashville thing. I don't know what we can do because, you know, the property at some of these places just, it becomes one of those deals where you just can't justify continuing racing when the property values go up so much. So I don't know. I hate seeing it, but, you know, life goes on.
Dalton?
Mark, Dalton Hopkins of Front Stretch. You went back to the Roush shop on Tuesday to go celebrate Jack Roush and his Bill France trophy, or the award. How much has that organization changed since you departed from it?
Well, it's changed a lot. Obviously, it had become Roush Fenway, you know, in the latter years of my career there. But everything about racing has changed tremendously, and now you have Brad involved there as well, which is, Brad is just incredibly smart. I mean, I don't know how to articulate to you, you know, Roger Penske said when he drove there that Brad's windshield was just wider than everyone else's. I think that's a good way to say it. He's very smart. And I think there's been a positive movement since he got there. It took a little while, but it seems to be trending certainly in the right direction. It is certainly different, but everything's different than it was in 20 years ago. So they said at that luncheon Tuesday that they want to embrace their heritage, and that's a philosophy that they haven't been really using the past 15 years or so, and I think it's pretty cool. I understand, some of the issues with that, but yeah, I mean, there's two-time champions. The 17 won a championship, the 97 won a championship. Gosh knows how many races were won, before it became RFK, and so it's a little bit different organization now, but it's still, Jack is still part of it, and he will always be the founder and the guy that built it and the people that built it, Steve Mills and Robin Pemberton's, should never be forgotten because, they're really important, and it's easy to forget and only get caught up in what's going on today.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Have fun out there in the pace car, and good luck out there for the Goodyear 400.
Once again, thank you, guys. It's really good to see the familiar faces.